Hello and welcome to Mash Mouth, a podcast covering every single episode of the hit 1970 sitcom MASH. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Vanessa.
Vanessa, today this episode is all about helicopter pilots. So I wanted to ask you if you would ever get into a helicopter.
You know, I don't know because I've never been in a plane. So I really can't say if I would ride a helicopter either. So I mean, maybe I see like the helicopter tours over New York City and I'm like, that's kind of cool. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever really want to do it.
Yeah, same. I don't like planes at all. I've been in a plane twice, and it was when I was like a child. And nowadays, the idea of flying is absolutely terrifying. And helicopters freak me out, man. I've only ever seen bad things with helicopters in like movies and real life. So I'm like, no bueno, no thank you. Even watching MASH, I'm like, they're gonna fall off that little railing they put them on. That's scary looking.
It is. It's very scary. Yeah, I think that I would never want to ride a helicopter as like, I don't know, an injured patient.
Man. Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe one day I'll keep us all updated.
Yeah, one day we'll get our helicopter license and just, you know, completely defy expectations.
Yeah, really.
So going from our helicopter discussion, let's talk about this episode.
Sounds good to me.
In this episode, Smiling Jack, a chopper pilot and friend of Colonel Potter, desperately tries to break the record for the most transported wounded before he's sent home, while a twice wounded soldier is desperate never to go back to the front again. Vanessa, what did you think about this episode?
I really liked this episode. I didn't think that I would, actually, because when I watched this episode for the first, I don't know, 20 of the 24 minutes that the episode was, I was like, this is mid at best. Like, not the best work of the writers. Really, really could have done without this episode, right? And then the final 5 minutes of the episode was really, really good. And it really put into perspective the entirety of the episode for me. And so when I went back to watch it the second time, it was a lot better. So I have a lot of thoughts about this episode. So strap in for a long one here.
For me, I just think this episode is just kind of mid. The ending did not grab me as much as it did you, and I can't wait to hear your in-depth thoughts on the conclusion of this episode. But this one was like a weird one for me because it was mostly like a dramatic episode. Like it was just kind of like a war episode or like an army episode, I guess. And it was pretty like light on jokes. Like nothing really made me laugh. It was like missing that manic back and forth that I love from MASH so much. It was just like a half hour drama in the form of a sitcom episode. And I was like, yeah, this could be a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you mean. And for sure, it wasn't a perfect episode for me in the least. But I don't know, I felt something for this episode too, even on my first watch. I was kind of enjoying the nostalgia that I was getting because it felt very season one vibes,
you
know?
It did.
I can't exactly explain what it was. I think that the writing really, really was season one energy here for a number of reasons. Yeah, so that's why I kind of liked this episode to begin with and then really liked it at the end.
I feel like I see this episode like a lot. Like I feel like people talk about this one. It is like frequently whenever I want to check out what MASH reruns on MeTV, it's like this one 90% of the time. I guess it's just the cycle that I go through of being interested in watching MASH live on TV. Whenever that feeling comes across me, it's just that time for them to air this episode and their constant like rerun cycle. So I have like slightly high expectations for this one, and I was just a little disappointed in it not really standing out to me.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So why don't we jump into the plot of the episode to discuss our grievances and our enjoyment as well?
Yes, let's do that.
So I really liked how this began. I don't think that this is going to be breaking news or anything, but I do always think it's very interesting when we get like the other side of mm-hmm. the war, or at least like we get a sneak peek of what happens and like the action before we get dropped into the MASH unit. I always really like the behind the scenes almost. And this opening shot also reminded me that the production value of this show is so unique and so high mm-hmm. for the time period, because I don't know, you don't get a lot of shots outside and like bombs and trucks and stuff like that and helicopters and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I take for granted that production value so much, and it's scenes like this that really remind me and pull me back in and like
yeah
really get me to be like, oh, this show is really, really unique.
Yeah, no, this opening scene, I had the thought while watching it of if someone just tuned into this like in the 70s like without channel info on the bottom of the screen, I don't think that they would know this was a comedy. I think they would just straight think it was a straight up like war drama, because there's no jokes for like the first like 4 minutes of the episode.
Yeah,
it was kind of wild, honestly.
I think that that is also kind of what gave me season one vibes. Not to say that there weren't a lot of jokes in season one, because there absolutely were. But I don't know, just the tone was very serious. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing more of this tone shift in the show, especially this season, I feel. Not to say that the writers haven't been taking everything very seriously, because obviously they have been. But I don't know, just the general vibe was just more serious in this episode. Yeah. And I feel like it was more serious in parts back in season one, too.
Yeah, as much as I like appreciate that seriousness, especially in comparison to other sitcoms at the time, I do wish this episode was just like a little more zany, a little more fun, because like even Hawkeye was not at his strongest like quip game in this episode. It was just kind of a semi-serious story of this helicopter pilot trying mm-hmm. to like deal with this record and not wanting to be sent home, as well as the young man who wants to go home. It was like a pretty serious episode.
Yeah, and I think that's also what was kind of, like I said, what was giving me that season one energy, was that it was like a pretty apparent commentary about war. And again, like a kind of a perspective that we haven't seen that much. But let's save that for when it actually gets discussed at the end of the episode. So
yeah.
In this scene, the soldiers are taking heavy fire, and then we hear the aid station, I guess, manager or whoever it is, call up radar and have radar send in choppers to have them transported back to the MASH unit. And this is where we get introduced to Lieutenant Smilin' Jack Mitchell, mm-hmm. who is our chopper pilot in this episode. So I really liked his character. No, yeah. I can't say that I really liked his character. Okay. I didn't like his character. I can't say I really liked his character for reasons I'll explain in a minute. But one of the things that made me like him was he kind of reminded me of Trapper. I don't know why, but he just kind of did. And I really liked that.
I can't say the same, but I really like this actor's performance. I thought he did a great job kind of delivering the charisma in a way that a lot of like one episode guest stars like don't. Like this guy just really stood out as kind of a fully fleshed out character from mm-hmm. the performance, where it was a thing where I could like see him joining like the MASH crew, you know?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like he fit in so well with the rest of the cast. Like he was friends with Colonel Potter. He was obviously friendly with Hawkeye. That was another thing that I liked about this episode, actually, was that Hawkeye makes this offhanded comment to Jack, and he says, oh, like, I hope that he is still alive with the way that you fly, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I really like when the writers include these little tidbits, almost, of the characters kind of indicating that they already know each other. You know, it extends the universe a little bit more than we normally get. And it makes the characters really feel like, I don't know, fully fleshed out people.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the guest stars that come into the show are usually playing antagonistic roles mm-hmm. where they're like the military, hard brass kind of, like, you know, the guys who, like, love war. And this is, like, a unique case where the guest star is someone whose, like, job is to help transport the wounded. Mm-hmm. So he does not, like, benefit from the war at all in the way that, like, other guest stars typically do.
Right.
So it was a unique kind of character dynamic that I feel like a lot of the guest stars don't tend to have with our main cast, that they were kind of all on the same team for once.
Yeah, and that's why I liked Jack's character, because of that camaraderie that he had with the cast, and that he wasn't the traditional antagonist of the episode. Like, there was mm-hmm. no real antagonist of this episode. It was more plot driven and, like, more circumstance driven. So that's why I liked this,
which is very interesting.
Yeah, not something that we typically see. I feel it's usually there is, like, the villain of the week and then they just deal with it.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't appreciate about Jack's character, Ooh. Though, and one thing I didn't really appreciate about the writing and the vibe that it gave me from season one, was that it felt like really, I don't know, like, I feel like sexist is like too harsh of a word, but like there was like some low-key sexism in this episode, just the way that they were talking to the nurse in this next scene where they're operating and Jack comes into the operating room to take a picture of the wounded person that he had transported. I didn't really, like, love the way that they were speaking to her. I didn't love the way that in the next scene that BJ was, like, talking about seeing Margaret in her underwear.
That felt so weird to me.
Right?
We'll talk about that, I guess. But that felt very out of character for BJ. He's not really the guy to make those kind of jokes.
Yeah, like you said, very out of character and just like season one vibes. That was a Trapper line all the way.
Yeah,
you know?
that was like a retrofitted Trapper line of like, we never got Trapper to say this. Let's give it to BJ.
Yeah, so I don't know. I didn't love that. That was something that kind of turned me off of the episode at that point a little bit.
Yeah, with the sexism beyond the BJ line, I personally didn't really pick up on it. At least it did not read differently than like the other kind of flirting with nurses in the show. There was one line at the end of the episode where Smiling Jack says like, "Oh, well, if you really want to reward me, send me home with a nurse." And like that did kind of like catch my ear in the wrong way. But the rest of the flirting was, like, kind of standard, like, MASH flirting, where it's like, I don't know about this, but it was a long time ago. It's fine.
Yeah, I think anything, it was, like, realistic. What I'm talking about mostly is, like, in this OR scene, for example, like, they're calling the nurse, like, honey and dear a lot.
Oh,
and
yeah, sure.
Calling her babe and stuff like that. And I'm like, eh, she's a trained nurse at Bellevue in New York City. Like, she's not your babe, dude. You know,
sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, I really, that was just, like, it struck me a lot in that scene. I was like, oh, we haven't really, like, seen this a lot since, like, season one, season two. Again, not that it like really took away from the episode. I think that the episode was still really well done, but it was just something that kind of struck me.
Yeah.
But anyway, besides the low-key sexism, this scene in the OR establishes who Jack is, what he's doing there, and what the audience kind of understands will be the plot of the rest of this episode.
Yeah, because Jack wants to beat the record that is set by a guy called Dangerous Dan, which I thought was very fun. I love this rivalry between these two guys that we don't normally see. That, like, mm-hmm. just added a lot of, like, texture to the episode, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It feels like a more lived-in world. And he's only, like, three behind Dangerous Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that he brings in someone, he, like, takes a picture of them. And, like, his superstition is if he takes a picture of them, they're going to live. And I like that stuff. I genuinely like. I like all that surrounding his character and this competition that he has with this other helicopter pilot who is unseen is like pretty fun.
Yeah, it felt very MASH vibes to me. You know,
yeah.
Like this is definitely something that you would either hear about in real life or really get from old school MASH. Like, I'm gonna say it throughout the rest of this episode, but just like very season one MASH.
Mm-hmm. And Dangerous Dan is just a great name.
It really is. So right after this scene, the next scene kind of establishes the B plot of this episode, where there is this wounded soldier and he is receiving a Purple Heart. And I think it's established in this scene also that this is his second Purple Heart. And mm-hmm. Frank kind of like wakes him up in order Frank kind of wakes him up in order to give him the Purple Heart. And BJ is sitting there like, hey, Frank, mm-hmm. maybe let the poor man sleep.
Yeah, no, this was once again, and we say this every week, but this was peak Frank just not respecting a young man's right to sleep in a hospital is crazy to me. I love Frank so much. He's one of my favorite guys now. He's just off his rocker in the best way.
I couldn't help but think, though, is Frank going to try to steal this medal?
Let me tell you, I legitimately thought that could have been the plot of this episode again. I was like, there's a Purple Heart and this man does not want to be in the army. Is he, like, Frank gonna trade him a Purple Heart for his, like, civilian freedom? Like, I thought it might go that way.
I did not remember this plot line. I remembered the Smiling Jack plot line, but I didn't remember this one so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that it was going to continue the running gag of Frank just like being terrible and not getting a Purple Heart and just being Frank Burns about the whole thing, kind of like swiping this poor kid's Purple Heart.
I mean, he clearly wasn't like in love with the idea of getting another Purple Heart. So like to Frank's perspective, he's not going to miss it. He can take it. It's fine.
I think it also says... Well, we already know about Frank, but says a lot about Frank, too, that he cares more about the decoration than the patient actually getting better. Because, like you said, he, like, smacked the patient in the face, mm-hmm. basically, to get him to wake up so that he could award him this Purple Heart. And there was just, like, truly no real reason for it. Like, he could have given it to him when he woke up, but, like, it just goes to show. And I think that this goes to, like, kind of the theme of the episode that like the awards and the glory and whatnot are seen as almost like more important than the actual person behind them.
Yes. I did not write down this line, but Frank says something to that extent where he's like, yeah, people get injured and people need to sleep. But like the important thing here is that he's like actually decorated. There was like a classic Frank line. And this whole thing, like you said, very season one vibes. This feels like it's trying to establish Frank as the guy he is instead of like building upon the kind of burnt out nature that he's kind of had in these recent episodes. And actually with the burnt out nature, I like that Margaret in the scene was just like, come on, Frank, like just move on. Like she wasn't entertaining him at all.
No, she wasn't. I loved that. She was like, oh, just give him the medal. It was so funny.
Also, I should say that the BJ line that we talked about earlier, where he comments on wanting to see Margaret in her underwear, he says that because he's reading a Superman comic. And I thought that this actor playing the soldier in the bed could have been Jimmy Olsen. Like that was just like the look that he had. It felt like a meta joke. And I looked up this actor and he did not play a version of Jimmy Olsen, but like missed opportunity for his career at the time.
Yeah, seriously, you pointing that out made me kind of like see it. That's so crazy. So the last thing I'll say on this scene, and then we can move on to the majority of the plot, is that Frank pins this Purple Heart on this soldier, but he pins it on the blanket. He doesn't pin it on the gentleman himself. He pins it on the blanket. I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it really did.
Again, peak Frank. This is just the most incompetent man in the army, apparently.
Apparently. So going from that, we'll come back to this soldier and some of the issues that he has later on in the episode. But this next scene and the subsequent scenes after that is basically the rest of the plot of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Jack goes to Colonel Potter's office, and this is where it's established that Colonel Potter and Jack had known each other at a previous point. And again, why I really liked the episode, because it was giving us some background that these characters lived a life and live a life outside of what we see. And like I said, I really liked that.
Yeah, definitely. That is the best part of this episode. The established camaraderie is really good.
So Jack and Colonel Potter are catching up, and then Colonel Potter sees a sore or a wound on Jack's hand because they're sharing a cigar, and Jack goes to light the cigar for Colonel Potter. And Colonel Potter makes a comment, like, I fixed that for you before I even came to the 4077. Like, what's going on there? Shouldn't that be healed? Jack, like, makes, like, oh, it's just an offhand comment, whatever. And that got me curious because I was like, okay, so something's happening here. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really remember or know what it was. Like, I obviously knew that, like, Jack was sick in some way, but I was like, huh? Is this another one of those things where it's like I'm supposed to know, but I don't, like with the STD episodes?
No, I had no idea what this meant. Quite honestly, was curious if this was like an HIV thing.
Yeah.
Even though like the time period is not HIV at all.
Right.
But this sore thing, I was like, this is something that I have no familiarity with. And when they explained it, I was like, huh. I didn't know that was part of diabetes is revealed what he has. And I did not know that not healing quickly and also being thirsty is a part of diabetes. I was not aware of that.
I did know that my grandfather was diabetic and he had like sores sometimes that just like wouldn't heal. And I knew like being thirsty, stuff like that. But I was really concerned that we weren't going to get this reveal because in the next scene, Hawkeye, BJ, and Jack are all like sitting around the officers club. And then Colonel Potter comes in and says, Jack, basically, you're grounded. You can't fly anymore. And instructs Hawkeye and BJ to give him a physical. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, so, the drama was 1 to 10 for sure. Because it goes from them, like, playing with a syringe and an orange, and I was like, what is happening? How is this a game? Like, I don't understand how someone could get, like, good at this. And then they explain it in the next scene, I'm like, oh, okay, sure. But the drama was, like, real when it comes in with Colonel Potter being like, yo, dog, actually, you can't fly. You're not good. I was like, why?
And then the needle thing gets explained in the next scene where Jack says to BJ and Hawkeye that, you know, he has sores and he's always thirsty. And then they say, oh, you've had a lot of practice with the needles because he injects himself with insulin. And I literally wrote in my notes, oh, not an STD, just diabetes.
Yes. And saying diabetes flat out, I was like, I don't know if that's progressive in any way, but it's interesting. I find this character having diabetes, like, pretty unique and interesting. I don't know how many other diabetic characters there are on TV, even in a small guest role like this.
I wasn't like shocked by it or anything like that. I think that diabetes is like a pretty safe diagnosis. Yeah. I did think that it was interesting that he kind of like hid it from the army because I don't think that he would have been allowed to be a chopper pilot if they had known, because
I think that's the thing.
Right, exactly. He gets grounded by Colonel Potter. And originally I was thinking, that's so weird. I wonder if that's an outdated thing or something like that. But then the more I thought about it, like the potential of someone going into a diabetic coma or like getting some kind of shock and being up in the air, like, that makes sense that he wouldn't be allowed to fly.
Just like one of those things that like makes sense, you know?
Right, exactly.
It totally tracks why a diabetic person wouldn't be able to fly a helicopter like this. It is legitimately dangerous, even if you manage your symptoms very well.
Yeah, and it's kind of established that Jack does manage his symptoms very well. He's kind of established that he is somebody who can like get a lot of stuff, you know, he trades stuff and just is able to get his hands on stuff because Colonel Potter asks him for an antibiotic and he's like, oh, well, I can get you this if you trade me that. So I think that it is established that he's like kind of like borrowing insulin, you know, he's like bartering it. And I think that's like really interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering if this is going to become a big conflict for the episode. Where it's like you're illegally taking more insulin than he like should have, but it's not really brought up as like a serious problem in the way that it could come up in a medical show.
Definitely. I think that, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know much about diabetes, but he mentioned that he was taking insulin like 3 times a day. I think that that's like maybe a lot. I don't know. Just the whole like aspect of it was very interesting to me.
Yeah. I agree.
So then you can see that Jack is like pretty disappointed because he was hiding this fact that he had diabetes and he really wanted to beat this record. But then the next scene comes back to this soldier who was wounded and had gotten a Purple Heart. So it turns out that he had gotten a Purple Heart twice. He had been wounded twice and awarded mm-hmm. the Purple Heart Medal twice. So,
yeah, and he seemed like a young kid too. He did not seem particularly old to receive a Purple Heart twice in his military career.
Yeah, absolutely. So Frank and Margaret are, of course, symbolizing like kind of like the war machine here. And they are saying, oh, well, we're getting him back to duty and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And BJ has this great line and he says, why don't we just hit him on the nose with a rolled up newspaper? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like really powerful because, like I said, they were more symbolizing this like war machine and how they're treating young men like they're these trained animals and not human beings.
Yeah.
Who might have like, you know, more complex emotions than just like mm-hmm. you are trained to kill communists. That's what you're meant to do. That's what you need to do and have like no further thought about it. And I think that it was even more apparent here when this soldier began talking about his mental health. And of course, BJ gets called away for an emergency and Radar sits with this soldier and he speaks with him about how he's like really scared and he's gotten injured twice now. And he's gotten two Purple Hearts. And I just think that it was just a really good, powerful scene.
Yeah. As much as I said that this episode, I'm not in love with it. I do really like the section. This section is like why I care about MASH. I find all this stuff very interesting and very, you know, bold to say on TV at the time. Mm-hmm. Even if times were like changing at the moment of broadcast. I really liked Radar's conversation with this kid in particular. Anytime that Radar talks to a young soldier and like sympathizes, but like doesn't quite understand where the soldier's coming from. I always find it very interesting. It is like not the heart of the show for me, but like a highlight of the show whenever they do this sort of trick. This part was really good.
Yeah, and I especially loved the part where Radar kind of subs in for BJ when he gets called away because Radar was connecting with this soldier. And the last time we saw him really start to connect with somebody who was wounded there, the soldier unfortunately passed away. So mm-hmm. I like to think that Radar was... that event was really traumatic for Radar, but he's not like closing himself off here. He's still willing to talk to people and make connections and befriend other people. He's not like closing himself off. And I like to think that Radar giving this soldier his lucky four-leaf clover was so that what happened to the other soldier that he befriended doesn't happen to this one.
Ooh, you're thinking about the lore. You're thinking about the continuity. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, and I just, like, I couldn't help but, like, make those parallels in my mind and, like, see what Radar was probably, like, going through when mm-hmm. he was talking to this guy. So it just made the episode really, really cool for me.
Yeah, no, the Lucky Clover thing, I think, is really, really cool. Honestly, I didn't think about the implications of that scene in regards to past episodes. That's a real highlight. Thank you for bringing that up. That like bumps this episode up a lot for me, actually.
Yeah, of course. So like I said, BJ got called away. And the reason he got called away is because Jack went and took a chopper and he was very determined to break this record. So even after he got grounded by Colonel Potter, mm-hmm. he went and he was going to transport patients to like break his record. And I liked this scene where they're kind of like talking to Jack in the helicopter and Colonel Potter is explaining like what's going to happen. Like he's going to have a hard time transporting four people back. Like the chopper is going to have a hard time getting off the ground. I think that was a really good way to tell the story with Colonel Potter as a voiceover when you're like actually like seeing it happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to like guess what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about the production value of MASH earlier. And let me tell you, this scene with the helicopter is the production value to me, baby.
Yeah.
This was crazy to watch on TV as a sitcom episode where this helicopter struggles so hard to get off the ground and it felt so like realistic. And I was so nervous, like unreasonably nervous watching it lift off because mm-hmm. I'm like, that's too much weight. It can't handle that weight. It's going to crash. Meanwhile, this is a half-hour sitcom episode. They're not going to show this, like, helicopter fall down and explode. That'd be insane.
Yeah.
But I was like, on the edge of my seat watching this happen because that explanation, like, worked so well with Colonel Potter and the voiceover and the visuals and, you know, everything was in peak form here.
Yeah, absolutely. And thankfully, Jack got back safely, broke his record, and he was happy for all of about 5 minutes.
Yeah, this was the great irony, wasn't it?
So that's where the episode got really good for me. So after Jack gets back, he had transported these wounded, and Hawkeye and BJ are kind of like doing triage and whatnot. And then they say to him, you know, you get on that bus right now. Like, you're going home. Like, absolutely not. Like, we're not letting you out of our sight until we see you off this campsite. And then the wounded soldier that Radar had befriended also gets on the bus. And Hawkeye and BJ have this conversation. And they say, isn't it interesting that it feels like these two were switched at birth? Like, this one soldier is kind of, like, desperate to go home. And this other one is desperate to go back to the fighting and the action. And I thought that highlighted the juxtaposition between these two stories, like that people deal with things differently. And just because one person is really raring to get back to the action and like really is thrill seeking and doesn't seem to be so affected by the war, doesn't mean that other people aren't. And I thought that that was something that we have seen before and that the show has handled before, but not in this exact way. And I just thought that it was a really unique way to handle the entire thing.
Yeah. My voice has been going the entire recording. Hopefully it doesn't sound too bad.
No, you don't.
Anyway, I agree. I think this scene and this conversation provides a lot of clarity to these two storylines, where it makes the episode make more sense on rewatch, where you're like, okay, this is like the game they're playing by showing these two people who are like diametrically opposed, who have the opposite kind of goals, but are in the same situation, essentially. It is really interesting, and I definitely do see what you appreciate about it. I just wish that I liked the episode overall a bit more because of like the pieces are all there. I just don't think that they fit together in a great way. Like if this episode was like 5% more funny, I think I'd really, really like this episode. But to me, it's just kind of like not dramatic enough to be interesting and not funny enough to have the jokes carry it.
Yeah, see, I thought that as well, again, until this final scene happened, or I should say these like two final scenes. So the big irony in this episode is that Jack went through this whole thing, and then in the final second to break the record for most transported wounded patients, and he was going to be Chopper Pilot of the Year, and he was really excited. And then at the last possible second, Dangerous Dan comes in with two more wounded and breaks Jack's just made record by one person. And Jack kind of like smiles, shakes his head, and just like gets on the bus. And
that
then,
would make me lose my mind.
I know, I know, right?
Flip out.
And then the final scene is what really did it for me because, you know, they're in the OR again, and the announcer comes on, or the PA comes on, and he says that 500 men of a 600-man battalion all died in this battle. And Hawkeye had asked Colonel Potter, like, of the three wars that you were in, which one is the worst? And then that announcement comes on, and Colonel Potter says, each and every one, Hawkeye, each and every one. And I think that that just, like, wrapped up the episode so well of, like, what is this all for? Like, I think that that just like put such a fine point on the episode, and it really like hit it on the head in the final scene of just like all the carnage, like what for what, and the bloodshed for what, this kid getting wounded twice, like for what, Jack beating the record for what, after all, you know? And it was punctuated by this OR scene of just like the doctors putting these wounded people back together again for what, you know? It was all like a big kind of almost like irony type of thing. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what is this for? Like, can you believe that we're doing this just to like be in the same situation again, like be right back to where we always are? It was just so good for me. I loved this.
See, hearing you talk about that, I'm like, okay, this is actually like the best episode of television of all time. You know, you sell it very well. And I did appreciate that scene on my own. I like that this season, the last scene in the episode are not reserved for like final punchlines, that they let the emotions linger. Like in an earlier episode where it pans over to Radar and he's just kind of sitting there in his emotions. This was very much like the sequel to that, where it's like, there's not going to be a final joke. We're going to hit you with some real raw wartime commentary. And you're like, oh my God. But personally, this one scene did not make the episode come together in a spectacular fashion. But hearing you talk about it, I'm like, actually, no, this is pretty good, dude. This is pretty good. It's pretty well considered. They did a good job.
Yeah, I think that what really got me was that it was, for the most part, like a very, I like lighthearted episode. It dealt with some heavy topics, but it was handled pretty lightheartedly. And then the final couple of minutes were just so hard hitting, like just that quintessential mash of it all. Like, we're gonna have a lighthearted, fun episode about this like kooky chopper pilot, but then we're gonna really bash you over the head with some strong emotions and remember that war is not a good thing. So that just put the episode into perspective for me a lot. So that's why this episode kind of like got elevated for me.
No, I do appreciate that. I understand where you're coming from 100%. That's a very good and interesting take that you have on this episode.
Yeah, kind of like came out of nowhere too, you know?
Yeah, that's also kind of the problem. Like, you can't just put this really excellent moment at the end of like a mid-episode and have me be like 5 stars, but you know. Maybe it won me over a little bit hearing you talk about it a bit more.
Yeah, it's one of those episodes where I kind of like want to go back again and watch it again to like see what the writers were kind of like sprinkling in throughout. So I really liked this episode. Pretty good overall, I would have to say.
I agree, begrudgingly.
So, Ethan, I know we said this wasn't a very comedic episode, so it wasn't really line heavy, but do you have any favorite one-liners from this episode?
Not really a one-liner, but I thought something that Radar said in his conversation with the young soldier was very funny, just the way that like Radar's brain works and the comparison that he makes. The soldier is kind of talking about having like traumatic experiences, like not being able to sleep every time he's like in the hospital. He hears like the shoes of the nurses and like thinks that it's like Chinese soldiers. And Radar says like, oh yeah, every time I hear a twig snap, I think it's my uncle coming to find me with my National Geographic, you know, the one with the African photos, like something not like equivalent to the situation at all. Like Radar as like a young boy is like, here's my young boy experience of like being scared that I'm gonna be find out about something, and this soldier is like, yeah, I'm worried that I might die when I hear people walk that I don't understand.
Yeah, that was a Radarism if I've ever heard one. My favorite line was when Colonel Potter was trying to get in touch with Jack after he had taken one of the choppers and was grounded. Colonel Potter says to Hawkeye, he is not supposed to be flying around up there. And Hawkeye says, maybe his arms will get tired. And Colonel Potter just goes, hysterical.
Yes, that was a great Colonel Potter moment.
Loved that.
I also loved the thing that he said after Jack completes his mission. He's like, I want to give that man a medal and also throw him in prison. I thought that was great.
the line that I loved the most from Jack was when they were doing triage after he came back from his little rescue mission that broke the record. And Hawkeye and BJ were saying that they needed to like round up some blood. And Jack goes, could you use a pint extra sweet?
Mm-hmm. That's a good diabetes joke.
I love that so much.
So Vanessa, do you have any trivia for us in this episode?
I do. So I have some trivia about Robert Hogan, who played Smilin' Jack Mitchell in this episode.
Yes, this is what I assumed it would be. I'm very interested to hear what this guy has been in. Because he had such good chemistry with the rest of the cast, I hope he had a good career.
Well, I will not leave you in suspense. So, Hogan was born in September 1933 in New York City. He studied engineering at NYU and acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Art, and he served in the Army during the Korean War, actually.
Oh, so like a guy who kind of knows what he's talking about. That's yeah. fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hogan began his acting career in theater and was in the original off-Broadway production of Call Me By My Rightful Name alongside Robert Duvall and Joan Hackett in 1961. Hogan guest starred on multiple popular TV shows throughout the 60s and 70s, and honestly throughout his entire career. But in the 60s and 70s, he was in things like Bonanza, I Dream of Jeannie, Hogan's Heroes, Hawaii Five-O, Mork and Mindy, The Rockford Files, as well as a recurring character on several shows, including the soap opera Peyton Place, which MASH alum Johnny Hamer was best known for, if you remember.
I do. And he was in a play with Robert Duvall, who played Frank in the MASH movie.
Isn't that crazy?
It all comes together.
We love a circular moment. So actually, funny story about Hogan's Heroes. Apparently, Bernard Fine, the creator of Hogan's Heroes, was a friend of Robert Hogan's and named the titular character after him.
Oh, that's crazy. I love that. That's
awesome.
Isn't
that so cool? Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a legacy right there.
I know. I love that. In the 80s and 90s, Hogan continued to guest star in popular TV shows, including Barnaby Jones, Laverne and Shirley, Hill Street Blues, and Murder, She Wrote. He was featured in the TV movie that was actually Natalie Wood's last completed performance before her death, The Memory of Eva Riker, and starred as JFK in Prince Jack.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
During the 90s is also when Hogan began acting on stage a lot more. He was in the original Broadway production of Aaron Sorkin's A Few Good Men and continued doing several off-Broadway plays throughout the decade.
Oh, cool. I love Aaron Sorkin. That's really fun.
Yeah, I was so thrilled when I read that. In the 2000s, Hogan returned to TV and guested on shows like Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, and The Wire.
Classic. We love to see it.
I read that The Wire was considered the best TV show of all time, actually.
It is, and I've never seen it, and I don't think you've seen it. So
I have not.
We should probably mutually check that out.
I would love to watch it. Hogan was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2013, but continued to act, and his last acting credit was in 2018 for the show Maturity.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Hogan passed away recently in 2021 from pneumonia at the age of 87. But I am so glad that I got to research his very long and very extensive career.
Yeah, it's a great career. Maybe one of the best we've discussed on this show so far.
Yeah. So I also have trivia about Dennis Court, who played Corporal Howard Owens, the wounded soldier that Radar befriends in this episode.
All right.
I couldn't find too much about him, but IMDb says he was born on Halloween in 1952, so we love a spooky lad.
Yes, we do.
Court guest starred in shows like Sanford and Son, The Waltons, Eight is Enough, and Fantasy Island throughout the 70s and 80s. His best-known movie role is a small part in Oh God, which, like, for some reason was always on HBO when I was a kid, so I watched that all the time.
Oh, really? I love movies like that.
I would love to watch it again. Court's last acting credit is for a movie in 1983 called Angel, which looks fantastic. And
oh, really?
As far as I can tell, Court is still alive today, but doesn't seem to be acting anymore because, like I said, last acting credit was in 1983.
Okay, we respect a man who retires. And also, he should have played Jimmy Olsen. Too bad he didn't. And Vanessa, I have some trivia for you, actually.
Wow. Ooh, I can't wait to hear this.
It's very brief, but I wanted to mention it as a director obsessive. This episode is directed by Charles Dobbin, who actually went on to direct the most episodes of the show. And this is his first episode. And I just thought that was very interesting.
Oh,
so
wow.
I wanted to tell you that.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome. So, Ethan, I know this might be hard for you, but what was your martini rating for this episode?
Okay, after our long discussion, I think this is a 3.5 out of 5. It definitely bumped up more and more as we talked about it, because I was not particularly impressed with this episode on first go, but you talked this episode up like a champ, and part of me is like 5 stars, but another part of me is like, I need to have integrity. I need to, so 3.5 out of 5 is where I'm going to land on this one.
Okay. I definitely see that. I think that I am a little bit hotter on this one than you are, so I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 stars.
Respect.
No, I'm sorry. We don't do star ratings here. We do martini ratings here.
Yes,
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 martinis. I am very tipsy on this episode.
Great. We love to hear that. So, just wrap up with a thanks to Jacob Friabalco for being our technical consultant, Vanessa's sister, Melissa, for awesome cover art, and, of course, our listeners. Links to our music, social media, and contact the show are in the description, as always, and join us next week for Season 4, Episode 23, The More I See You. But until then, donate some blood, extra sweet. Goodbye, farewell, and amen.
Bye, everyone.